bag and pull that in.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam.
The sensation of standing in the physical presence of objects in a museum, there is that sense of separation. Whereas something like sounds, the sacred sounds of particular traditions especially, it has that way of breaking down those barriers, of letting you feel that you are feeling the same thing or something similar to anyone else who would have heard those sounds at any time in history. I'm Peter Manceau, Lilly Endowment Curator of American Religious History at the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of American History.
Welcome to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices, where we explore the beliefs shaping our world. 5 years ago, Peter Manceau became the first curator of religious history at the Smithsonian, reflecting a growing realization that you
can't tell the story of American history without grappling with religion in a real and sustained way. Every part of history is made up of humans and human concerns. And if there are human concerns involved, there will be religious ideas, there will be spiritual aspirations.
Manceau is quick to point out his public role is to educate, not proselytize.
There's a difference between telling stories of the role of religion in American history from creating religious presentations, carving out space in a federal institution for religion to happen, rather than for telling stories about religion in American history. The latter is essential to American history. The former is something that you would want to avoid in a federal institution, but probably in most public facilities serving wide audiences in any case.
During the holiday season, he saw an opportunity to use sound and musical traditions
to get people thinking about religion in more complicated ways.
And by complicated, he is talking about the notion of
religious majority, to complicate the notion that there was ever anything, that there was ever a single faith that was monolithic in American history.
This is important to Manceau because myths distort understanding.
What looks to be monolithic from the distance of history is itself made up of many strands of various traditions that are blending together in interesting ways. And if we complicate that notion that there was ever a majority, then I think we really start to get to just the complexity and the really fascinating diversity that has been part of American religion from the very beginning.
He traces the myth of the monolith to a different problem, excluding some while counting others.
Who are we talking about? What religious diversity looked like early in America and what people regarded as religious diversity is something different than what it is now. A lot of that has to do with who we're talking about and how they are counted. So if we're talking, for example, about a majority Christian nation at the founding of the Republic in the late 18th century, you're not talking about the vast populations of the enslaved, for example, who have brought their own religious traditions with them, who in some cases have lost those traditions, in some cases have blended those traditions with the traditions that they've been exposed to in this new environment. You're not talking about Native American populations who are being pushed ever westward or kept on reservations. You're not talking about those people whose experiences we rightly now regard as part of the American experience.
To get that full, complicated picture of American religious history, Manceau encourages us to look through a wider lens.
Religion is not something that merely happens in houses of worship at a particular time. Religion happens in people's lives in the same way that culture does.
And this is why music is so important to Manceau. In this week's special episode, we feature recorded performances from the 2019 Sounds of Faith concert series, performed live on December 8th at the National Museum of American History. Between selections, we will include more from my conversations with Dr. Peter Manceau, cantor Ari Brown, and Dr. Hussein Rashid, religious literacy consultant who delivered the guest lecture for the Jazz and Islam program that were part of the Sound of Faith series. We turn now to the concert, where Manso introduces the first performance celebrating the ancient festival of Kaleida.
We're going to begin with an ancient tradition that has origins in the Slavic region, dating back before Christianity spread throughout Europe. This festival, known as Kaleida, united communities through the worship of ancestors in order to evoke the promise of rebirth. Traditions associated with this holiday later became part of Christmas expressions in Bulgaria and throughout Eastern Europe. Ceremonies in this tradition linked humanity with the natural order and the sun and the maternal earth through the mediation of women. Young women often foretold their fortunes, which were believed to be linked to the fortunes of the villages and the fields that surrounded them. One of the most important elements of this holiday was singing, and specifically the singing of women, who had the unique ability to cast off darkness and bring light with their voices. To introduce us to this tradition this morning, we are really honored to be joined by the premier Bulgarian vocal ensemble here in the Washington, D.C. area, Orfea, and they are led by their artistic director, Tatiana Sobrinska.
In this next song, there is a beautiful girl named Milka. And Milka's beauty is known far and wide because her mother has been boasting about it. She has been boasting about how beautiful Milka is and how stylish she is. And this news has traveled all the way to the Kaleida marketplace in Istanbul, where there's a merchant named Marco. And Milka has gone to this market, and she has met Marco when she has bought silks and gold and silver that he is selling. And they've sort of flirted and maybe hit it off a little bit. And so she goes again to the market, and she's boarding his boat, and he is sort of making this announcement, everybody come and buy my beautiful wares. And she gets up on the boat, and she's going to buy the silk, and they really just hit it off, and he sails away with Milka, and they sail away together into the sunset. This is Hubava Milka.
Milkina mama, Milka faleshe, ekula dele, moi kula dele, maritva derabot na, mnogo iskopos na, ekula dele, moi kula dele, marikola dele, chula se Milka, maricha cari grada, ekula dele, marimo ekula dele, cha cari grada, maricha cha chiata. Ecola dele, marimo ecola dele, ecola dele. Ecola dele, moi cola dele,
marici cupi ma cosia cacva popa. Ecola dele, moi cola
dele, maricola dele, copa coprina. Ecola dele.
That was Orfea, a women's vocal ensemble dedicated to preserving traditional music from Bulgaria and Eastern Europe. From pagan folk songs, we now turn to the next performances featuring selections of Yiddish and traditional Hanukkah songs from around the world, performed by cantor Arian Brown. She's a formally trained Jewish musician who leads congregations in songful prayer at Addis Israel, a Jewish congregation in Washington, D.C. Here she is performing a traditional Hanukkah song in the ancient Ladino language.
Chanukah lindas tahaki, ocho kandelas parmi. Chanukah lindas tahaki, ocho kandelas parmi. Oh, una candelica, dos candelicas, tres candelicas, cuatro candelicas. Two candelicas, six candelicas, siete candelicas, ocho candelas para mí. Muchas fiestas por hacer con almendricas y la miel. Muchas fiestas por hacer con almendricas y la miel. Una candelica, dos candelicas, tres candelicas, cuatro candelicas, cinco candelicas, seis candelicas, siete candelicas, ocho candelas para mí. Los pastelicos voy a comer con almendricas y la miel. Los pastelicos voy a comer con almendricas y la miel. Oh. Una candelica, dos candelicas, tres candelicas, cuatro candelicas, cinco candelicas, seis candelicas, siete candelicas, ocho candelas para mí.
I sat down with Cantor Brown to learn more about the traditions and discovered her love of music began very early.
When I was 8 years old and was sent to Hebrew school, I went to the synagogue and I heard my cantor sing, and I was just completely in awe listening to him. And toward the end of the service, he invited all the children up to the bima, to the stage, to join him and sing some songs we had learned in Hebrew school. And I just had the best time and went home and told my parents I would be going to services every Shabbat. And from that point in, I did. And I was able to really learn from singing with him on the bima and increasing my knowledge and delving into what a cantor does.
What role did music play and the singing play in your own kind of experience of faith?
So the music is what drew me to Judaism. Hearing the davening, the chanting of the prayers, is what touched my heart and touched my soul, and that's what brought me in. It brought me from an upbringing of tremendous respect for the Jewish holidays, but not a lot of observance of everything. I would say that the music is what always, that was not just the initial what drew me in, but what always keeps me going.
I asked Cantor Brown to describe the origin story of the Hanukkah ritual of lighting candles on the menorah, which begins this year on the evening of the 22nd.
We'll light the first candle, and that will continue for 8 nights and 8 days. In the story of Hanukkah, there are two main themes: the miracle of the light, that at a time when our temple was destroyed and in shambles, and the Maccabees fought this battle of the small against the mighty, they returned to their temple, and there was one little jug of oil, not enough to last very long, and the miracle is that the oil lasted for 8 nights until they were able to get more. Music features prominently in Hanukkah. Number one, when we light the candles. So in the home, there's the candle lighting. There's a special melody for that. And then there are some traditional songs that are sung after the candle lighting.
How many songs would you associate with Hanukkah?
So that's actually an interesting question. There are a ton of short folk songs that are sung by kids. And in the home, there are a lot of children's songs for Hanukkah. I have a little dreidel and O Hanukkah, O Hanukkah in all different languages. And there's a lot of folk music that's very accessible and short and easy to sing. There's a section of praises that we add on every holiday. And so I featured some of that and then looked a little bit more into some Ladino and some Yiddish music that would highlight Hanukkah. There are Hanukkah songs from all parts of the world. Sometimes you'll find tunes from the Yiddish stage and the Yiddish theater that get adapted into a song. There are songs from the Ladino tradition, a fusion language between Spanish and Hebrew. So it's an old form of Spanish with certain elements of Judaic words and lyrics that make its way into it.
Of the songs that you performed, which ones really kind of were your favorites?
So the first section, I started with an introduction about holidays that feature light and about the fact that we see in many cultures at the darkest time of the year, in December, when the sun sets so early and there's a lot of darkness, there are holidays that feature light. And so the first set of songs had to do with candles and with light. I always love including Yiddish. So I would say my favorite from that section was Oy ir kleine lichtelech, Oh, you dear little candles. It was a duet, always wonderful to sing in harmony, and just a Yiddish folk song about the candles and all that they symbolize and that they touch you deep in your heart.
Oy ir kleine lichtelech, Ihr der Zelt Geschichte lech, Meise lech und so.
Ihr der Zelt von Blutigkeit, Bergschaft und Mutigkeit, Wunder von Amal, Wunder von Amal. Tales of long ago, stories of our heroes bold, stories told of times of old, wonders without end, wonders without end.
That was Cantor Brown performing Oh, You Dear Little Candles at the 2019 Sounds of Faith concert at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History.
Coming up, we learn more about the role music plays in Judaism across generations and hear a performance from Afro Blue, a widely acclaimed vocal jazz ensemble at Howard University. Hi, friends. This is Amber. I hope you're enjoying this week's special. I wanted to take a quick break just to remind you that in this season of giving, we rely on your support. If you haven't renewed your membership yet, please take a moment and go to interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. Interfaith Voices relies on our loyal listeners and members to produce and distribute Inspired every week to public radio stations across the NPR and community station networks. Again, interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. Welcome back to Inspired. We continue our special program featuring selections from the Sounds of Faith concert series recorded live on December 8th at the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of American History. Let's return to my conversation now with cantor Ari Brown, where she describes one of her favorite selections, Al Hani Seem.
A liturgical piece about the miracles. There was a setting by Robbie Solomon that I believe just really highlights the joy of the miracles of this season. So the lyrics come from a part that is in our service, Al Hanisim ve'al Hapurkan, for the miracles and for the wonders and for all of this that you, our God, did for us. We are grateful.
Shuot ve'al ha'milchamot she'asita she'asita lavoteinu al hanisim ve'al ha'porkan ve'al ha'gevurot ve'al ha'tishuot ve'al ha'milchamot she'asita she'asita lavoteinu bayamim ha'he.
From folk songs about dreidels to liturgical pieces, Cantor Brown points out that music plays an important part of Judaism across cultures and ages.
I would say that music is an important part of religion at every age, and certainly in the age of children or young adults or teenagers. And to give you a few examples, Sunday before this Sounds of Faith program at Addis, we had a big latke party sing-along where every grade had prepared a song, and they had learned the words and they had learned the tune, and the words were projected for everyone, and each grade stood up and led it with great ruach, with great gusto and spirit. Music adds to a communal spirit. Only music could draw us together that way, and children feel that. As children age and get older and study for bar and bat mitzvah, they learn some of our most ancient chants. They learn how to chant from the Torah scroll and from the prophets.
From Cantor Brown's perspective, the music is not only important within the tradition, she sees it as a cultural bridge to the broader community.
And I'd say at the museum, that setting is really prime for that, because it's a place that people come to when they visit D.C. And I've seen each year while performing this set that there are people, there might be people who are there for it that sit in the seats, but there are people just wandering around the museum that hear music and they're drawn to it, and they come and they listen, and it might be their tradition, it might not be, but they're drawn in by the music, and it's, you know, they've been captured in that moment.
And that cross-cultural exposure and engagement is reflected in the next performance by Afro Blue, the premier vocal ensemble from Howard University. Here they are performing Calypso Carol.
Shepherds, come quick, leave your sheep. Run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby, he be born today. Shepherds, come quick, leave your sheep. Run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby, he be born today. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Shepherds in their fields, they watching all the flocks by night. All was calm and all was clear, and the star was burning bright. The angel of the Lord came down at night, but like the day, they saw the glory of the Lord, and it took their breath away.
All together now, shepherds, come quick, leave your sheep. Run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby, he be born today. La 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 la. La 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 la.
The angel said, now have no fear, come here, listen to me. The news I bring to you this night will bless humanity. In Bethlehem was born this day a little baby boy. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he will fill your heart with joy.
Shepherds, come quick, leave your sheep. Run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby, he be born today. La 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 la.
The shepherd said, we've seen the light, come on, let's not delay. In Bethlehem we'll find the first child lying in the hay. And when this found that baby boy, with joy they spread the news. So let the joy they found that day be inside of you.
Shepherds, come quick, leave your sheep. Run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby,
oh,
he be born today.
Shepherd, shepherd,
come quick,
your sheep.
Leave your sheep.
Yeah,
run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby, he be born today. Shepherds, come quick, leave the sheep. Run to the manger while the world's asleep. Better listen to the angel and be on your way. 'Cause the Bethlehem baby, he be born.
Today.
Bethlehem.
We're very fortunate to have Afro Blue, the premier vocal ensemble from Howard University here in Washington, D.C. And they sang a selection of songs drawing on gospel, jazz, spiritual traditions, and also Caribbean traditions. And they showed through their song selections the ways in which these musical traditions have developed over time. So particularly with the spiritual tradition, we see in early spirituals and going for even further back in the ring shout tradition that arises among enslaved peoples of singing songs, often drawing on the content of Christianity and the Hebrew Bible, but blending them with West African rhythms and melodies. And so you see in those moments the crucible of American culture.
The metaphor of the crucible is a powerful one in American culture, especially for groups who have been historically not counted. Yet Manceau is quick to challenge the notion that our complicated history is simply a case of one group silencing the other.
I think that we have a tendency to think of the interaction of majority and minority cultures as being simply that the majority is a steamroller, and it just wipes out those other smaller cultures it comes in contact with. The reality is much more interesting. They're changing each other in ways we can notice and we can hear, and also in ways that can be forgotten over time. And only when you take the time to look for those mutual influences can you really find them.
Cultures exerting influence upon each other was a theme carried into the evening Sounds of Faith concert, Islam and Jazz, that was performed by the Smithsonian Jazz Masterworks Orchestra. The evening kicked off with a talk by Dr. Hussein Rashid, a lecturer at the New School and a consultant focusing on religious literacy and cultural competency. I sat down with him after the performance and asked why knowing the history of music matters.
When we listen to jazz and we don't recognize the ways in which spirituality, religiosity, whether Christianity or Islam has played a role in it, it becomes flat. We're looking at the technical aspects. These are all amazing things, but the time and the place in which they're created, what it is the artists are struggling with, that gives us a more appreciation of where that music is coming from. It gives us an appreciation of where we're coming from as a people, as a community, as a nation, and where we could go as a people.
For Rashid, that matters for all genres, not just jazz.
When we get these new musical art forms, thinking about jazz, or punk, or hip-hop, or even rock and roll, that these were coming out of a sense of anti-racism, that there were places where people could come together regardless of what their racial standing was and try to imagine a new world. But the struggle for me comes in when you realize how these art forms are then appropriated and commodified, and we're really not breaking through the racial structures that really underpin our nation. My greatest hope is that every time we engage with these musics is that we're always thinking about the possible rather than retreating into what already exists.
piece we just heard was composed in 1977 by the musician Abdullah Ibrahim, also known as Dollar Brand. The Hajj, or the journey, takes its name from the pilgrimage Muslims make to Mecca. Rashid's lecture touched on the interplay between politics, identity, and power. I asked him to explain why.
Everything we do is political because it's always based on questions of power. Who has power? Who can afford not to hear certain things because they're in positions of power? So yes, I think all this music is political. And I think it's all political because it is a power differential. When we look at any art form, it is always about trying to lay a stake to one's humanity. It's always trying to express one's position in the world and trying to hold on to or reclaim a sense of humanity in overwhelming power. I think that you have an environment, a racial, a political environment in the United States that makes the emergence of these art forms necessary. At the same time, that doesn't mean it's not joyous and aesthetically pleasing to the people who are creating it. Joy in and of itself is an act of resistance. To claim your own humanity when people are telling you you're not human is an act of resistance. When we engage with this Western musical canon, I am hard-pressed to name major American art forms that don't come out of marginalized communities, particularly African-American communities. If you think about blues, if you think about jazz, if you think about R&B, rock and roll, hip-hop, these sort of quintessential American forms, they're not white Western musical forms. Mm. They're coming out of the African-American community. I think if an educator is looking at any cultural production, the question is, are you looking at it as a piece that sits by itself, or are you looking at it as a piece of social history? And if you're looking at it as a piece of social history, then you really have to get into that social history. It's not just the history of a person, it's the history of communities that are interacting. Music for me is probably one of the most important art forms we have because it's a generational art form. It's passed on orally. You don't need books, it's carried in your head. And lyrics may transform, but sounds are fairly well preserved over time. And so it's something that we can trace a little bit better. And so for me, music tells a really great history of America and the complexities of what it means to be American. And we need to be asking the right questions about it.
Manso wrestles with the complexities of how to deepen understanding as an educator and as a curator at the museum, but sees something especially powerful about sound.
We were really trying in the museum world to make it so that museums are not necessarily quiet places where you can only go and not touch things, but rather places where you can go and feel touched by experiences. Mm-hmm. I think a lot about objects. And one of the things I love about the power of objects is that they feel to me sometimes like time machines. You stand in front of an object and you know that others throughout history have stood in front of it, have considered it, have wondered at what it might mean to their lives. And songs, too, have that quality of allowing you to feel that even as I am having this individual experience of hearing a song, of really feeling it, of understanding, even in a way that you may not articulate to yourself, that others have had that experience, that it is this moment of being being yourself, but also being part of this community. And music has that way of allowing you to feel that in a way that is really unique, because it's not dependent on being any particular place or seeing any particular thing. It is this immersive experience that allows you to be at once yourself and this part of a vast history and community. Just as we talk now, I'm realizing that it's not dependent on it being live music, because radio, of course, does the same thing.
That was Peter Manso, curator of American religious history at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History. In this segment, we heard The Preacher by Horace Silver, performed by the Smithsonian Jazz Masterworks Orchestra, led by Charlie Young. We are closing this week's show with The Three Kings, performed by Afro Blue, the premier vocal jazz ensemble from Howard University.
Oh, we travel so far for the stars. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect love.
Lord-ay-oh.
Gold I bring to crown him again. Keep forever ceasing, never over us all to
That's all for this week's episode of Inspired, where we explore the beliefs shaping our world. To learn more or hear the full two-hour concert, visit our website at interfaithradio.org. A special thanks to the Smithsonian National Museum of American History and all the performers featured in this week's episode.
Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Guide us, da 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 da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da.
You can hear this episode via podcast wherever you listen. This week's producer was Kevin McCarthy. I'm your host, Amber Kahn. See you next week.
Murder is mad. It's been a land of gathering gloom. Sorrow and sand. Bleeding, dying. Sealed in a stone cold tomb.
Give it God and sacrifice.
hope you've enjoyed this week's show. Every week, 52 weeks, that is, we distribute this program at no charge to stations because of the community of listeners who value public media and support interfaith voices. Our small and mighty team counts on the strong support of members and listeners. We have partnered with Network for Good to make it easy this charitable season. So take a moment and visit interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. Thank you for all your support.